Hi, this is Harold. Welcome to Transformation's weekly message and podcast. I'm glad you are making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end of today's message, but for now, let's see what God wants to teach us. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of God's word and message.
So just a little history of my church going, because I've been in church all my life. But I started out in the Methodist Church in St. Clair, and my dad's mother was a preacher's kid. So I've always been in church. But I went from the Methodist Church to the Missionary Baptist Church when my mom was had to be on bed rest. Her best friend took me to the Missionary Baptist Church, and I was in her Sunday school class. No longer in my mother's Sunday school class, but her best friend's, who her dad had married my parents. So then from there, I went. My dad got to be friends with the Assembly of God pastor, and they did target shooting, and so we changed to the Assembly of God church. That was one church I never joined because it said, you know, I couldn't go to the movies. And it said, well, you know, my mom goes, that's really just the theater, and that used to be different. And I said, I'm going to the movies, and I'm not going to join because I'm not going to, you know, fulfill, you know, everything that was required of me. So then from Assembly of God, we went back to a Baptist church when my dad played golf with the pastor, who was really, he ended up being an evangelist and going all over, but he was a great man of God, a great speaker. And we were really kind of a new church start because their church was small. They had not enough room in their building to grow any. So I remember setting up chairs every Sunday in the gymnasium at the Murray School. And then then we'd have to take the chairs down. And we had a praise band, believe it or not, back in those days. So it was really a good experience. I met Rob, who did not want to go to the Baptist church, and he was Mr. Methodist. And so that's how I came back to Brown, to the Methodist church. But anyway, I want you to know I was brought up in church and attended Sunday school and learned about Jesus. And I remember asking my mother about a scripture that would show me more about Jesus. And of course, you know, if you're growing in the church, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that's the King James Version, and that's what I memorized as a child. So I wanted to know more, and so I, you know, at the time, I was a small child. I'm like probably about 7 or 8. So we had the big family Bible. So I'm like, show me where these scriptures are, Mom. And so anyway, so then as I explored that family Bible, I learned John 3:17. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. And so that is very important because it's through him that we can do all things. So as I started searching and looking for answers and the mystery of God and learning to talk to God, after my mother said my nighttime prayer, you know, now I lay me down to sleep. But then I prayed, and I prayed for my family, and I prayed for each one by name. And then I started praying, I want a baby sister, Lord. Can you give me a baby sister? My mom goes, honey, we've tried for years. We're not going to have any more. And I'm like, God, I know you can do anything, and I really need a baby sister. My sister's 9 years younger than me. So I did get my baby sister. And so that was something I like, oh, that was the first answer to prayer. But at the same time, my dad's mother was going through, she'd had breast cancer that metastasized. And so she's going through treatments, and she would fly to Dallas because that's where my aunt lived. And they were doing different experimental drugs they were using on her. And it was really, she went through a lot, and it was really horrible. But she said, you know, this might not help me, but it might help my granddaughters. And so she was very brave. And they said, this next treatment will either heal you or kill you. And of course, you know, she did not make it. So then I asked, you know, I'm like, why? Why didn't God answer our prayers, you know, that because she died? And it's like, my mom said, she's he did answer our prayers because she's in heaven with Daddy Ray and she's healed. And she said, and she got 2.5 more years with us because she went through all those experiments. So then it was like, oh, well, how do I get to heaven? Because that's where, if we all are families in heaven, how do I get to heaven? So I started, I had that hunger for God's word, and it started drawing me closer to him. And I heard scriptures being read at church, you know, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So it doesn't matter what we do. We're not God, and we can't make ourselves God because none of us can measure up to the life of Jesus. And so then it was like, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 10:9, and it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so if you want to read more, my mom is like Romans Road, so just read the Romans Road and look it up in to salvation. And I felt that urge to go forward on a Sunday morning. And so I was 11 years old, but I just... I was scared, and I'm like, oh, I can't do that, you know. So, but then Sunday night, we start a revival, and it's like, when that altar call was raised, I was like, I couldn't sit in my seat. It was like, I was like somebody just like, okay, help me up, and got me forward. And the pastor's wife, bless her heart, Judy Scruggs, she knelt with me and prayed with me. And I still remember because I was like all full of butterflies. I was so scared. But it was like, because I'm like, what's the right words to say? And, you know, like Harold says, just help me, Lord. You know, just help me. But she asked me a few questions and we prayed. And those butterflies just went away. And I'm like that John Wesley moment because I felt like it was just a peace and it was just like a warmness. And I just felt God engulf me. And so it was just, I still remember that. And that Sunday evening, it was like October 29th, 1967. And you know why I know that? My mother wrote it in her Bible. And so I remember that night. It was so dark when we left church. It was just the darkest night I'd ever seen. But the church doors, you know, we had the double church doors that opened out. And it was like the light was shining out of the church. And it was just that contrast. It was like, I'm washed in the light. And it's like, I was like a scaredy cat kid. And so it was like, that was just an amazing moment that I was, you know, that I wasn't afraid. Because then I always talked to God. And so, you know, it's like in my head, it was just, you know. And so my life's been filled with lots of trials, temptations, love and joy. But I'll tell you an example. In eighth grade, one of my, you know, it's like two of my closest friends, the one friend brought cigarettes from her house, and we were, you know, at my other friend's house. Her dad was the deacon, but, you know, we're like, okay, so we're going to make a pact, and we're all going to try this. And I was like, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Because I said, I don't want to, you know, I had grandparents that had smoked and died from cancer. I'm like, I am not going to smoke cigarettes. It was a decision I personally made. And so I started praying, Lord, help me. Give me the words to say, because I don't want to smoke. And here's what came out in boldly, and I'm telling you, I was a shy kid. I said, I'm not going to smoke. My grandparents both smoked and both died of cancer. My dad was a smoker, and when he quit, he was smoking 3.5 to 4 packs a day. And he did it cold turkey, and it was only with God's help because he could not have done that. And he said, you know, even before he died, I can still feel an urge to smoke, but it was the only, you know, only reason he could not do it was because of the power of God. And I said, you guys might be able to smoke just one. But I said, I'm a nail biter, and I'm afraid if I smoke one that I'll be a chain smoker. And when I said that, the friend that brought the cigarettes said, you know, who's my dearest friend since kindergarten, by the way, Carol, said, oh, Pam, don't be a goody two shoes. Just go ahead. This isn't going to hurt nothing. We're just going to all do it together and see what it's like. And I said, and my other friend that was there, Mary, said, leave her alone. And so I don't remember what happened. I don't think they smoked either. So, I mean, I just think I messed it up for them too, haha. But anyway, but God gave me a way out. And I want to tell you, and so my faith was really stretched that day because temptation's not a sin. Jesus was tempted, but 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." So God's word is our sword of protection. And I'm telling you, I'm not perfect, because when I was younger than that, my dad had a cigarette there, and I thought, I'll try that. And it burned my throat so bad, and I was coughing, and I'm like, they're like, "Pam, what's going on?" I was like, "Oh, get me out of here. I don't want to get caught with this." So it's not like, you know, there's always temptation, and we all, you know, go through that. But I'll tell you about my most recent trial, and it was on Rob's first day of cardiac rehab. And this was the end of August. And so the nurse said to Rob, "You don't want those stents to fail." And I thought, I'm praising God. We found this calcium test. They put the stents in. Rob's doing so good. He felt a difference right away. But then it was like, stents fail? I never thought about that. Do stents fail? Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, the guy I dated in high school, he had stents put in, got COVID, and died. So I'm like, oh, blood clots happen. You can die, you know, you can die from that. And it's like, but it was just, here it is. Here I'm like just thinking, that's all, you know, I'm not confessing it. I'm not telling anybody my fears, because I'm like, you know, I know this is mental. I know she's using reverse psychology on Rob. I know that he's going to go do cardiac rehab because I'm going with him. But it was not, but it was like, September 4th, Kim came to bring Ruby for us to watch for the day because she was sick. And my blood pressure was 175 over 95. And I was like, I was in panic mode. And so I couldn't even talk when we got to so Kim took me to the ER. "Let's just go to the ER, Mom." She put her watch on me. She goes, "You're in rhythm." We went to the ER. I couldn't even tell them, "Why are you here?" "Well, my blood pressure's high." "Well, as we're going stents." That's all, you know, whatever. And so I couldn't say stents without crying, I'm telling you. And so so then they checked me all out, and they said, "I don't know what, there's nothing wrong with your heart. You got your blood work came back to a 30-year-old. And so it's like, well, it's still going, and my heart's beating so fast. But so they said, "Well, we just go follow up with your primary doctor, and we're not going to give you any meds today because we don't want you to crash." So it's like, so I was going with Rob the 3 times a week. I was getting ready for our annual meeting. So, you know, and it's me, sometimes I procrastinate. And so, you know, I had to have something written down because I had to give a report from the video didn't come from the national office to play. So it's like, they gave me a five sheets of paperwork and like, just do a little talk on these points. I'm like, so, but here I am at the doctor's office. And it's like, this is Wednesday. I leave on Friday. I don't have that written. I don't have my script written up. I'm like, so she goes, "Oh, how are you?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm doing good." You know, well, first of all, the first nurse I know, I'm laughing, talking. "Oh, ha, ha. So then you'll take your blood pressure." Well, of course it was high. So then the other nurse, she's like, and I'm like, "Well, what's going on in your life?" So then I'm like, I'll start talking about it. And it's like, well, my blood pressure is going to be high. But So she goes, "We're going to start you on these pills." Now, I'll tell you how crazy I am, because I'm taking my blood pressure. The day I first take the blood pressure medicine, my blood pressure is the highest it's been since I was at the ER, because I'm taking a pill. Oh, my gosh, I have to take a pill. And so anyway, though, yeah, it's like, oh. But you know, I have written on my heart, "Cast all your anxiety on God because he cares for you." But it wasn't, I knew in my head, but I wasn't telling, you know, I wasn't telling anybody what was going on with me. So finally, I shared with my small group. I'm like, this spirit of fear has came on me. I know it is. I know I can't do it on Pam power. So I had to have the prayers of my community, my people. And so once, you know, that you know, it was there. And, you know, and I talked to Chrissy and Peggy, go, "Pam, those stents aren't going to fail." And then I was like, then in my little small group with Dale and Deb and Chrissy, they're like, "Pam, you know, Terry's got seven stents and you know, or five stents, and Deb's husband has stents. They put stents in legs. They put stents everywhere. And she said, and I go, you know, I'm like, I know, but I was keeping it all, internalizing it. And I wasn't, I was trying to give it to God, but I was trying to do it by my own power, you know. And so I just want to thank all of you. And I want to tell you, you know, I want to thank Kim, who lost a day of work. I want to thank Chrissy and Peggy. And I want to thank Jane, because she sent me this little article that came last week after church on Monday. And it's like, try hibiscus tea. It's really good for lowering your blood pressure. Now, I've been charting my blood pressure. The 3 days I drank that tea, that hibiscus tea, and we were on our resurrection thing, I'm drinking my tea, and my blood pressure's down 129. So I'm like, but then I stopped drinking it, and it's back up again. And I'm like, you know what? I got to, like, try to figure this out. My doctor called, and she goes, we're going to get you off these meds. So I'm just telling you that God uses your husband, he uses our wife, he uses your family, he uses a friend, an article from a friend. He uses the right song at the right time. Thank you, band. This is like beautiful songs meant just for all of us today. And also a complete stranger can tell you. And just that gentle whisper from God. So I can testify today that God goes with us, before us, behind us, beside us. There's nowhere we can go that he isn't there, and nothing can separate his love for us. Thank you, church family. Amen.
Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know more about us, we are Transformation Church. We are a church for people who aren't in the church. We are a Jesus-centered community made up of everyday people just like you. We refer to ourselves as transformers, committed to helping God change the world. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at our House Springs campus. We are moving and launching a new campus soon in Eureka, Missouri, scheduled to launch on April 6, 2025. And we would love for you to join us and be a part of this Jesus revolution. We also meet during the week in smaller groups called house churches, and that's how we make it relational. We regularly hear from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, and TikTok. You can also download our app for free and for fun from your favorite app store. You can find the download link in the show notes or on our website at www.transformerforlife.org. That's www.transformerlife.org. Inside our app or on our website, you can access all our available audio and video teachings and view and download our bulletin, sermon notes, slides, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. Lastly, if you want to learn more about supporting Transformation Church with your time, talent, and finances, and what it takes to become a transformer, please visit our website. God loves generous people, and so do we. So a gift of any amount of your time, talent, and finances is much appreciated. Hey, thanks for being a member of our extended Jesus-centered community. I'm glad we are on this journey together, walking shoulder to shoulder, helping people experience a Jesus-centered life, and discovering the kingdom of God.